Baruch Hashem Adonai, Shalom Haverim, which means blessed be the name of the Lord and peace to our friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your Bible, your pen and paper, and get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word, especially on eschatology, end times things. First, we're going to ask the Lord, our Abba Father in heaven, to please be with us. Please send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be with us as we minister to all those that, all to our listeners. Thank you for the prayer requests that everyone sent in. Lord, we know that you will answer every one of them. All the prayer requests that you come in, that come in through the mail or through email, we just ask you to honor their wishes and for the healings and for the help. We're all going through some hard times, and we trust that you will help us through them because we put our faith in you. And that's just how we got to do it these days. So we thank you for that, and we invite you in today. Open our ears and open our eyes to what you have to say to us through your word. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
And we do bless you, Lord.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you. You know, I just have to say something, and you're not going to know about this. But I know that you're just dying to say the Johnny Carson routine. Because you get so close.
I get close.
And so I'm just going to let you do that today, just for the heck of it. It'll be fun.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, thanks. We'll do it that way. Sure. And, hey, this is the season of Teshuvah. And, right? Wednesday is the, we'll start the annual time of reflection and a time when God will often admonish His people, that could mean us, when they need it, right?
Yes. Actually, I thought you were going to do, and here's that's what I was going to tell you can do.
Well, I thought I did
you
it
thought I
close.
Was kidding, didn't you?
I did. I did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway,
well, we're
going
to have to
time.
Repent just for that.
Yes. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. Okay. Well, you may go to the radio podcasts on our website and listen to last year's archived detailed description of why they looked inward more intently on these days just prior to the fall appointments of God. The program's dated August 15th of 09, or you can check out the newsletter that was just put up on the web. This will give you a detailed account of the season of Teshuvah, correct?
Because we're going to be in it starting on Wednesday. And again, like you said, God does often admonish the people when they need it during this particular time. And a lot of things have happened at the end of August and September.
The people
throughout
It's throughout history and not just the
hurricane season.
Hurricane season. A lot of things happened.
Katrina, 9/11. I mean, just a lot.
Yes.
So I hope that you will go back and listen to that show or at least read the newsletter that just came out. It should be on the web now.
Okay, good. It's important. And, of course, we'll be opening the lines later for your phone calls for your question on the topic of end times or eschatology. Okay? So, oh, great one. What are we going to discuss this week?
Oh, funny now. That's
okay,
funny.
There we go.
Okay. I am that great one except for through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Well, I hope that everyone has had the opportunity now to read Revelation 2 and 3, the seven letters to the seven churches, because for the last couple of weeks we've been discussing that. It's very, very intriguing, actually, those letters.
Yes, very
deep. A lot of information.
A lot of information.
Depth, and you want to not just read them casually, but a little more intently, and we're going to help you do that.
Yes.
We're going to quickly recap from last time. Particularly the prophetic application of the seven letters to the seven churches. And then we're going to compare these letters that were given to John in Revelation. We're going to compare them with the letters that Paul writes in the New Testament. And what it's going to show you is that, definitely that the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit at work, proof again that the Bible is written by God.
That's right, and it is an integrated message system.
It's a system.
That's right. Okay, so one more time, Sheila, can you explain once again why were these particular churches, these seven churches in Revelation, and they were all congregating in Asia, and they weren't really that far apart.
That's right.
And this was approximately 90 A.D., and that's when John penned Revelation. Mm-hmm. And why were these particular churches handpicked?
Yeah, handpicked for
sure. And there was more churches than these, right?
Absolutely, okay. Hundreds of little groups.
Okay, so yeah. why these seven?
Well, because each one of these churches had particular different circumstances. But when taken in the order that it was given to John to write it down, they describe in order the condition of the church as a whole throughout the church's history. So this is prophecy, okay? Prophetically from the beginning church age, which is Ephesus in the mm-hmm. beginning, to the end, almost 2,000 years later, which is where we are now. So this is the area that I like to study, the propheticness of it. Now, there was also a local application.
Yes, there was an application for those churches right at the very time.
That's right. It mm-hmm. was sent to all the churches, too, not just that.
Oh,
because
okay.
Because each one had a little bit, you know, they could deal with. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the personal application. You know, it's said to anyone who has an ear.
Oh,
so you have to look at it inwardly for your own personal part also. And, of course, the other is the admonitory, which can apply to any church assembly throughout history.
Yes, but we've dug a little deeper, and we've peeled the onion layers down a little bit and discovered how these prophecies about these churches dovetail into the church history that we have now. I mean,
it's mind-boggling.
It's right out there, folks. By the way,
right.
We do have a detailed chart that outlines each of the seven churches, so to see the entire scope and the differences between each church and how it matches Paul's letters to also the seven churches and the parables of Matthew 13.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all on one sheet. If you'd like that, just send a self-addressed business envelope to Box 513, Burton 44021, and check out last week's program for a more detailed description. But here goes a shortened version.
That's right.
Okay?
Again, we're just going to basically look at the propheticness of now of each church throughout history. Okay, let's start in the beginning, 32 A.D., okay, so for up until about the year 100, okay, we have the beginning church, the church at Ephesus.
Right.
And that name actually means darling, okay? It was the first church, mm-hmm. you know, the first Christians.
Like the first love?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And boy, did they start out well, gung-ho. But unfortunately, he says that they lost their first love of intimacy, that espousal love. They held on to tradition, but they lost the hunger to grow closer.
Now, does that personally apply to anyone out there?
Doesn't it apply to almost everybody?
Like us?
Yeah. I mean, it applied to me. I thank God that I came back strong. But
yes.
then for a while, you know, you start out really well, and then you run around and you witness to everybody, and then when people don't listen to you, you kind of get depressed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a tendency of, but the main thing is that it's because people don't read their word enough. They don't keep that hunger. Without the word, you cannot have that hunger.
That's right.
Right.
So if your little car will run out of gas real quick.
Absolutely. Got to keep filling that tank.
Filling the tank with God's word, right?
Right. Okay, so that's the first part of history up to about the year 100 A.D. Now if you want to take about 100 A.D. to all the way 200 years into 312, we have a type or a period called the church at Smyrna.
Okay.
Now Smyrna's name actually means myrrh, and it was an embalming spice, you know, when you died. So mm-hmm. you had that flavor of death. You know?
Yes.
It was during a highly paganistic era, and therefore Smyrna Christians were extremely persecuted.
Yes, this is the period when the being thrown to the lions, et cetera, et cetera. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Yeah.
But the letter told them, okay, Jesus told them to remain faithful to the end, to overcome, and they wouldn't be hurt by the second death.
Okay.
And they were faithful. And then we get into about the year 312, and it goes all the way to about the year 606. And Jesus calls this time the church at Pergamos.
Okay, this is the third church, prophetically speaking.
That's right. And actually the name Pergamos means...
Mixed marriage.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
So they were mixing paganism with their Christianity, unfortunately. Pergamos was the capital of Asia Minor, and it foreshadowed of Dark Ages. Okay, and then, of course, we know the Dark Ages is where paganism is really welcomed when the church marries the world and we have the beginning of the one world religion in the next church.
Mm.
And, of course, we know Ecclesiastes 1:9 says there's nothing new. We're going to come right back to this
That's
one world church.
That's going to come right back to that,
We're
isn't
almost
it?
There.
Okay, number four. What's
Now the next period of time starts off with about in the year 600, and now we have full-blown one-world universal church. It's the Church of Thyatira, or Thyatira. And that actually means...
Continual sacrifice.
It does, and of course we know the Mass. Every time that they have the Mass, it's a continual sacrifice. So it's interesting that that name means that.
Hmm.
But here we have the one-world universal church, and only... the only one until the Reformation, and that doesn't come for quite a while, actually. It's still kind of here today, but minus all the monstrosities that happened during the Dark Ages.
Okay, I got a real quick question. Is this the one with the deeds of the Nicolaitans?
Well, that started off slowly in Ephesians, got worse in Pergamos, and that was full-blown here.
Okay.
And the Nicolaitans, of course, and we talked about that last week, means rule... by the people.
Or rule over the
people.
Over
the people.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I don't want to go down that rabbit trail too far, but I just want to bring that up.
This church, for the first time, we see terrible judgments by God are pronounced to it, and the Lord assumes his supreme title, Son of God.
Mm.
Now, to the first three churches, he revealed himself in attributes that would stimulate faith, call for dependent trust. But now we see judgment with flaming eyes. So it should get your attention right off. And remember, bronze and fire always means judgment.
Now, Sheila, didn't you say last time that he uses one of his titles from chapter 1, and you can get a flavor of how the letter is going to go?
Absolutely.
By what title he uses at the beginning of the letter?
Yes, and this is a perfect example
Church
of Thyatira.
Right.
And that began in about the year 600, and it is actually still here today, minus, like I said, the monstrosities that they did. I mean, we had... Inquisitions and they killed people in the Crusades. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was a terrible.
But finally, now we come to the year around 1517, and we see the breakaway church. And this church is, of course, the Church of Sardis. And Sardis's name actually means
remnant, right? The escaping ones.
Yeah, they escaped from this one world church, basically. And it is still here today, also. Okay, so it broke away from the powers of pagan Rome, the political church. Reformation, yes, good thing, and I'm glad. Unfortunately, he says that basically they had a head knowledge, and they were missing the Holy Spirit, and besides that, they lacked looking for Jesus, which, of course, is prophecy, because he says, be watchful, or I will come upon you as a thief.
Ah.
And you know what? They are still looking for him and do not want to know prophecy, even though Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You see, this is the mainline Protestant churches today.
Okay.
They broke away from the one world church, which is good, but then they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And they still don't, and they don't look for Jesus.
And they don't look for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they're not too mindful of prophecy, I don't believe.
Not at all. Not at all. At least not the ones that I talk about. I'm sure there's exceptions. So please, if you're out there and you know of an exception, that's good. But for the most part, they don't teach prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them don't even think that he's coming back till after the millennial kingdom. So, you know.
We know where that goes. Well, now we're up to the sixth church, prophetically speaking.
We have another kind of a breakaway.
Yes, okay, another kind of breakaway from Sardis, probably.
Yeah, right? Because now we've got the Holy Spirit Church.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this, Philadelphia.
This is around the 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, close to the time our country was being founded, or the seeds, the idea of our country was.
Okay, and what does Philadelphia really mean?
It means brotherly love.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're supposed to love our brothers, right?
That's right.
But this church, now if you read carefully, and, oh my gosh, I want to reiterate again, I hope that everyone out there is really paying attention to these letters and reading them on your own, each one not taking a break in between, but so you get a flavor of the whole thing. But this church is the only church to open up with a different title for Jesus Christ that is not in Chapter 1, and it's the only one.
Hmm.
Okay? I should say, I think Smyrna also is a little bit different. Only church other than Smyrna, yeah.
Okay.
But it has nothing bad said about them. So the Church of Smyrna was the persecuted church. They had nothing, you know, bad said about them, and Philadelphia doesn't either.
Wow.
But all the other five have a criticism.
Okay.
Okay? All others have a flare of judgment, but here it speaks of his holiness and truth. Besides, no criticism, has a great promise in verse 10 that this church will escape the trials to test the earth dwellers when it comes.
Well, that definitely be church is in existence today, mm-hmm. and I believe we're part of that.
I think I am that.
Yeah,
so
I
are
think
you.
So too.
But this was the Holy Spirit revival time. This time with John Wesley, George Whitfield, and around this time they came to America and birthed the missionaries with the key of David, which means that key of authority, who opens and no one shuts, and open he has done through missionaries, also with the birth of a revival. I mean, there's people getting saved in China, Japan, Korea even, Africa, Russia, all through the Church of Philadelphia around 1739. And we can add Finney, D.L.
Moody. Yeah, don't forget
Moody.
Finney, D.L. Moody, William Carey.
To India.
To
right.
India, yep.
Right. So we're still here, but
okay,
we're not going to be here for long.
Did you know that D.L. Moody spoke in tongues? Oh, that's a good issue.
All right. So then in about 1950, soon after Israel got their statehood, we saw...
That's definitely a marker in time there.
We saw the quick decline of a lot of things.
Right.
Just about everything, actually, yes. Especially morality. But now we have the Church of Laodicea, and that means to rule by the people. Or make your own judgments. In other words,
I
think is right is right.
Oh, okay.
You know? Literally, it was a church in the area of Turkey.
Okay.
It was a city named after the wife of Antiochus II, Laodicea, and it means to gossip.
Wow. Wow.
But these people have a head knowledge and not really a heart knowledge. They make up their own rules to live by. And when I say that again, I say like many couples even refuse to believe that sex before marriage is a sin.
Yeah, and many.
They've decided it. They make up their own rules.
Well, yeah.
And homosexuality.
And homosexual, you know, marriage between a man and a man is, they made that up.
It's okay. They were born that way.
Huh, okay.
Right, no. They were not.
Whatever.
Okay, another topic. But anyway, this is the Last Days Church that needs nothing, and it's noted for its pleasures.
Oh,
they'll
okay.
write down Christian on an application, but they're extremely worldly. Laodicea was the city of great wealth, was sort of a Las Vegas vacation town. Its main industry was money, financial banking, and clothing, especially of very expensive black wool. And they had a great medical school famous for its eye salve.
Oh, okay.
But they couldn't see, really. Today, though, it is a heap of ruins, and Jesus says nothing good about them. In fact, he tells them how to get saved, because obviously they weren't.
Oh.
For in verse 16, he says he's on the outside, knocking to get in.
Wow. Sheila, I noticed that this is the only letter that says Church of the Laodiceans. All the other churches, it is the church in, like, Thyatira, or the church in
Sardis.
But this one is the church of.
Of, yeah.
And why?
I have a feeling it's just because of the fact that Jesus probably was not in this church. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's one little word. It could mean a lot, right? But you've looked at the interlinear. You know what that Greek word in and the difference between in and of in the Greek. So
right, it's definitely of.
It is kind of a, would you say it's not a slam, but it's an attention attention getter.
If you pay attention.
Yeah, if you pay attention, if you
it's
pay
attention
really
getter.
Attention.
But even in Sardis, although nothing good said about them, they still had some who had not soiled their garments. But Laodiceans don't even have that. The spiritual condition is described as lukewarm. And, of course, this is the kind of water is found in stagnant ponds and water holes. It is stale, foul, stinketh. The character of such water is caused by lack of development and or activity. And, of course, I have to think of the spiritual activity.
Yeah, it's the very opposite of living water, mayim chayim, you know. It's the very opposite of that. This is
that's right. Stagnant.
Stagnant water. I guess the water always has to be moving in order to
absolutely
to be fresh.
Absolutely.
And we always have to be moving, right?
Yeah, and he even says that in the Old Testament. He says, even when you wash your utensils, make sure it's moving water.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's a big picture.
Christ offers counsel, for they are wretched, but they have need of nothing. They don't think they need anything.
Oh, because they're wretched and naked, but they don't feel like they need anything.
But he does rebuke them because he still loves them.
Yes.
And that is speaking to me. We need to be planting seeds to these people today.
Yes, we do.
They're going to be left behind probably, unless they got the, you know, the real heart, Jesus in their heart. But soon the religious system of Thyatira is going to encompass the world once again, because when the Church of Philadelphia leaves, then the last three that are still here are going to join together. And also welcome all the pagan religions and the cults, and they will become one.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So anyway, okay, well, that covers the seven churches prophetically in the book of Revelation. Now, how do these compare with the letters that Paul writes in the New Testament? Now, you know, I'm not a genius, but I know he wrote more than seven letters. So,
okay, you know what? I'm going to let that be a cliffhanger for everybody out
there. Okay, yeah, because I know he wrote more than seven letters.
When we come back, I'm going to explain to you exactly how his letters match the seven letters that John wrote. It is absolutely amazing, and we're going to see the finger of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, great. The lines will be open when we come back. And if you have a question, particularly on end times eschatology, the number is 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Now, since we cover such a big area on the radio, we would both like to visit you at your church.
We would.
Yeah, for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. I'll do the messianic worship, and I'll show you how to do it, too. So tell your pastor and ask him to give us a call. The number is 440-834-9006. I would also like to add that Shofar Ministries is non-denominational, 501c3 so far. So all your gifts are tax-deductible. Take advantage of that. Donations are really needed to stay on the air.
Get it while you can.
It's a good way to get a tax write-off, and we really are. This is a slow time of year, a season for everybody. We realize that some of you aren't working out there, but your donations are what keeps us going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can only send a dollar, if you can only send $5, it doesn't matter. You're giving into God's work, and you will be blessed
by
it.
And if everyone would do that, we could stay on the air.
And we could stay on the air. And so, you know, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, 44021, or just give through shofarministries.net. And use PayPal as well, and you can purchase teaching DVDs, especially on the spring feasts, for a donation of only $15.
And again, we do need your help out there. We still need seven more people pledging $100 a month, and we could handle the rest. You can call your pledge in right now, and you can talk to Jeff, and perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company or services, or just refer someone who could. Just give me a call, 440-834-9006.
Okay, and I must add that, hey, that sounded like a good song to start.
It's coming.
But without your immediate help, this is serious. We will not be on after next month, and that's a sure thing. So let's keep it up, folks. I know you're learning out there. I'm learning. We're all learning and growing through this wonderful Bible teacher. Once again, those numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 677-9673. So stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song.
By you.
By me. Stay with us now.
Straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Make me as one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray. And I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song was sung by our own John Bartlett. As usual, it's just a great song. I just absolutely love it. And if you would like John to do some worship at your church, just give me a call, and I'll make sure he calls you back.
Yes.
Okay. I have a special announcement I want to make, too, for Alexandria School for Nannies. They are having what they call a Nanny Palooza Day. It's a convention on September 19th. It's a Sunday. All day beginning at 10 a.m. in Solon for anyone wanting to check out the possibilities of becoming a nanny. You know, just you know, if you have questions or you're just thinking about it. And I must tell you, I'm told that there is a definite need out there for nannies, really, seriously. So if you need a job or something, this would be a great day to go check it out at least.
Yeah, Solon's right off the freeway, too. It's easy to get to.
Yeah, so seriously consider going and asking these questions that you might have. You never know where God wants you, especially now in the slumping economy. So for more information, call 440-781-7531 for more information. Again, that number is 781-7531.
Great.
Hey, great. All right, where were we, John?
Yeah, we were just finishing up the seven prophetic churches in the book of Revelation. We ended with the church of Laodicea, and now we're going to compare those letters to those churches with the letters that Paul writes in the New Testament, and you were going to tell us.
I am going to, and I just want to remind people that the lines are open if they should happen to have a question.
Yeah, the numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD 9673. Okay, got it.
Right. Okay, so, all right, you want to know how the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation written by John compare with the letters that Paul writes in the New Testament, and I'm going to show you that.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, Paul admits to 13 letters by his own signature.
That's right.
He did not sign the book of Hebrews, and I'm really quite glad because it wouldn't fit into this scenario. So he admits to 13 letters, but Paul actually wrote to four people. So you take away four, and that leaves nine.
Okay.
But two of those were to the same churches.
So that leaves
seven different churches that Paul wrote to.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, okay. That's right.
Okay. Now, John, you're going to have to help me here. The first one's pretty easy. Is there a church that Paul wrote to about marriage and espousal love and then relates it to Christ in the church?
Let me think here. Could it be Ephesians?
Of course.
See,
we know the first church in
Revelation is
Ephesus.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Paul wrote to the Ephesians and talked about the love thing, you know, spousal love and all that. So really kind of neat.
That fits, that dovetails right in there so nicely.
It does. Now, the next church, prophetically speaking, remember, was the suffering church of Smyrna?
Right.
Okay. Is there a church that Paul wrote to whose central theme was joy of suffering and to die is gain? In verse 29 of chapter 1, he says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe but to suffer for his sake." And even Paul himself martyred Stephen, and then Paul died a martyr at the hands of Nero himself. Is there a church that Paul wrote to?
I'm going to have to cheat on this one. I'm going to look in the back and it says Philippians.
Of course. Joy and suffering. And joy, that, okay. That would match Smyrna, wouldn't it?
Okay, that sure would. Yes.
Okay. The next church that John wrote to was Pergamos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they brought in the world.
That was the mixed marriage, where they actually meant mixed marriage.
Started bringing in paganism. What church did Paul write to, which was a carnal, worldly church, called them fleshly with incest, misused the gifts, false prophets, and he even said in this church, Satan even comes as an angel of light.
Okay, that's easy. That's Californians.
Church of California, Corinthians.
Yeah. I'm from California. Yeah. I can say that.
I know you can. You
Corinthians.
Can. I visited there once, and I can still say it. Anyway.
That was Corinthians, and they had some issues, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Okay, the next church that we have in Revelation is the church at Thyatira.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this world church is dominant, heavy against the Jews, by the way. In fact, they weren't even allowed to associate with a Jewish person at all. They murdered in the name of God. The Crusaders offered time off in purgatory to fight for Jerusalem, killing anyone who got in their way.
That included Jews, too, because they couldn't distinguish between, it was terrible. Crusades are awful.
They seduced people and stole the land, the Inquisitions, and so refers to Jezebel because Jezebel also stole land in 1 Kings.
Yeah, you read that story, and her husband wanted that, King Ahab wanted that land. And
Naboth's land?
Yep. She said, don't worry about it. I know a way to get it. And basically, she stole it.
And that's why Jesus refers to her, because they were doing the same thing. And the spirit of wealth, basically, is still in the church today.
They have a lot
of wealth. But will get even worse after the rapture because of the soon one world church coming to life again. And it won't just be the Catholic Church. We're talking about all the churches combining now. That'll be the Protestants left behind and all of whatever is left.
They're all trying to combine anyway. So.
Right, because once they're all the righteous are taken, it'll be very dark here.
Very dark.
She's called the Woman of Mystery Babylon, by the way, in Revelation.
Hmm.
But they want to be judged by their works, and they will be.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a church that Paul wrote to that dealt with false doctrine of legalism? In other words, works like the law rather than grace alone.
Okay, now that's easy. You gave me enough clues there. That would be Galatians, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. He said a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and that's what happened in Pergamos.
Hmm.
Actually, we started at Ephesus, and now it's full-blown. Okay, so isn't this amazing?
This is four letters that are lining up with prophecies here.
And now we have Sardis. This is the breakaway church, remember, from the One World Church, but they still had nothing good said about them. Martin Luther turned anti-Semite actually, and he loved to argue doctrine. He had a head knowledge, but he
was lacking in love, obviously.
So. Yeah.
Yes.
And Luther got irate when the Jews wouldn't turn Christian. Called them disgustingly venomous, bitter worms.
Mm.
He ordered the destruction of synagogues. And later, Hitler would even quote from Luther's remarks. And maybe that's why Sardis has nothing good said about it.
Wow.
Even after breaking away from Thyatira.
Wow.
So, what church did Paul write to that really explains doctrinal issues?
Well, I know Romans, Book of Romans.
Yes,
it's a good doctrinal
book. Difficult
and there
book,
was a
actually.
Church at Rome. So, do you think it's Romans?
Yes, I do. Very formal, systematic. Many denominations today instead of unity. Okay, the Protestant Church. Many.
Looking for spirituality, but definitely.
Well.
Not looking for Jesus.
No spirit, and definitely not looking for Jesus, and that's a big clue here.
And that's why it says in Revelation, because they're not watching, he will come as a thief.
He's
not going to come as a thief to us.
No.
Because we're waiting and watching and expecting.
That's right.
But they're not watching, and he will come as a thief.
In fact, they don't really even think he's coming.
Yeah. So that would give you a real good reason not to.
They don't think he's coming.
Okay, so there's five of the prophetic churches in Revelation. And we've matched them to five of Paul's letters, really slick like that. Now, I had no idea that would happen, but we've matched Ephesians, Philippians, Corinthians, Galatians, and now Romans.
That's right, and we got two more.
And we got two more.
Okay, Philadelphia, that's us, of course, the revival of 1730, breakaway from dead orthodoxy. has nothing bad said about it in Revelation, and has a great promise of verse 10, which is that we will be taken out of before the Great Tribulation.
Oh, yeah.
But that's opposite of Thyatira. In verse 22, it says, cast you into Great Tribulation.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah. So there's a definite contrast there. So what letter talks of a removal before this time, the tribulation, and goes into depth of the tribulation and talks about even the matter of perdition?
Well, that's an easy one.
Uh-huh.
That's Thessalonians. I was waiting for some caller to answer that one, to tell you the truth. That was, okay. Thessalonians.
Right. So we got one left.
One left, yep.
Laodicea, ruled by the people. No commendations, a lot of criticism. Still here today, and we'll be into the tribulation, joining the one world church, in need of nothing, lukewarm, noted for its pleasures, like a Las Vegas vacation spot of the ancient world. Any guesses, John?
Well, you know, I have to go back to Corinthians on this one, but I know it's not because we've already used that.
Yeah, so. I think it's Colossians.
Think it's Colossians?
Yeah.
Okay.
It contains the same phrases as in Laodicea, and yet nowhere else does it contain it.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. It talks about the beginning of creation as the title of Jesus Christ. And, you know, in Colossians 1, it talks about the firstborn or the head over all creation.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In Colossians, Paul warns of similar things that relate to the New Age, the worship of angels, visions.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians talks of Christ at the right hand in chapter 3, verse 6. And so does Laodicea in chapter 3:21.
Wow.
Colossians talks of God's wrath coming, and Laodicea says to repent and open the door for Jesus in verse 20.
So do you think, that was a good match, too. Now, was there any collaboration, do you think, between Paul and John?
No.
I don't think, why?
Well, Paul wrote his letters first.
Okay.
And I believe it was way before.
Okay, so you don't think they collaborated and say, hey, I'll write these to seven churches and let's see if we can match them up. You don't think that happened.
I don't think that happened.
The Holy Spirit?
He wrote at least 40 years before Revelation was written.
Before, okay.
Yeah, so.
There you have it. That's an integrated message system from outside the realm of time. And
you don't see the fingerprint of the Holy Spirit in that one.
Yes, that is something else.
All right, we've got a little bit of time. Let's do. Let's look at the parables of Matthew 13.
Why?
Because I actually see some comparison with this also. Now, a little bit of different flavor. It's the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, which is the church, of course. And we're not going to have time, unfortunately, to read all the parables. And I hope, again, that people will do that as your homework. But let's just give some stirring up about it.
Matthew?
Matthew 13, the parables of Matthew 13 about the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, the parables about the kingdom of heaven. Okay.
That's right. Now, isn't it interesting that there are seven parables?
Of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah, that is.
Do you think that maybe they could match a little bit the letters in Revelation and Paul?
I got the feeling that they might.
Oh, I bet.
I've got the feeling they might.
Now, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, which is called in verse 11 of Matthew 13, says, and all scholars agree, this is about the church, which was, by the way, a mystery in the Old Testament, which is why it's called the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, I see.
It was a mystery.
Oh, it was a mystery. Okay.
It was. All right, let's start at the beginning. We have the parable of the sower, don't we?
Okay.
The very first parable of Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower, which church in Revelation was the sowing church?
Well, that would be the beginning church.
Of course.
Yeah, they were the one that was sowing the seeds. That would be Ephesus.
That's right. And I'm going to read this kind of quickly, and we'll go over it again next time. I don't want to run out of time.
Oh, yeah.
But this parable of the sower, gives the four kinds of results, of which only 25% of those who hear it ever takes hold of the seed.
Wow.
You know, that means 75% of all who are told the gospel don't accept it.
Wow.
That makes sense, though. I look around. Now, of the 25 who do accept it, still a third stay in the outer court Christian, never really get close to the Lord.
Okay.
A third make it to the middle, the holy place,
mm-hmm.
and the tabernacle.
This is
analogy,
the tabernacle
right?
analogy,
okay.
Yes.
And only a third of the 25% now ever make it to the Holy of Holies.
Hmm.
So that's almost like 7% only of all saved people ever stay in the Holy of Holies.
So all the yield of the sowers, the yield of their seeds is all different, isn't it?
That's right.
It's not all the same.
30, 60, or 100-fold.
100-fold, yes.
Yeah. And 100-fold, of course, would be those that get into the Holy of Holies and stay there all the time.
Yes.
And that's you can be there all the time. All you do is spend a lot of time in your Word.
Yes.
Tithing your time in God's Word will keep you in the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
24 hours a day.
And stay away from sin, too.
Well, we still sin. But not as much. And then his favorite phrase is, anyone got an ear? Let him hear.
Oh.
Now, isn't that interesting? Don't we hear that in the Church of Revelation? Seven churches?
Oh.
Each church says, anyone who has a ear,
let
him hear.
That's right. So here you have Jesus saying this in the
parables.
In the parables. And then here you have John, and it's matching what John said in Revelation. Very interesting.
It's extremely interesting, too, that one of the reasons that the seed doesn't root is because the birds come and eat it, which Jesus himself interprets in verse 19 of Matthew 13 as being the wicked ones or demons.
Okay, so don't go out, run outside and get rid of all your birds because they're demons. They're just a figure of speech for demons.
Exactly.
Right? in the Bible.
Yes.
Not in your backyard.
But what's interesting, since this is the letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 6, we see Paul warns of the wicked ones in high places. So in other words, apply the armor of the word. And in these parables, the birds do represent Satan's army. So it really matches the letter to the Ephesians.
That is. And that's the first parable.
That's right.
Wow.
That's
the first kingdom parable, we should call it.
Exactly.
Now the second, can we have time for that?
Yeah, I think we do.
That was the wheat and the tares.
Yes, the parable of the wheat and the tares. In other words, remain faithful, overcome to the end, and then evil will be destroyed. The tares will be destroyed. So
what is he, in Smyrna, he says, remain faithful.
Yeah, he says, you might have to die.
You might have to die, but...
But at the end...
You're going to overcome.
The tares will be taken.
Yeah, isn't that something?
So that matches pretty good there.
That's a pretty close match there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next one is, do we have time? The mustard seed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The parable of the mustard seed?
Yeah, we actually, I think we're going to make it. Mustard seed was the smallest of all seeds. And it should really only grow to be a bush.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular mustard seed got too big. And because of that, the birds made their home in it. Now, who are the birds?
Who are the birds?
In the parable?
Okay, they're the Satan's evil ones.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Demons. Yes.
And what happens to Pergamos, which is the next church in Revelation to match?
The mixed marriage that lets in.
Paganism.
Paganism.
Lets in the demons.
Okay.
Wow. I just love this. This is just too cool.
This is matching, and this is Corinthians. Right.
Yeah, that was the letter that Paul wrote to Corinthians, so that they all three match. And then the fourth parable is the leaven.
Oh, okay, now leaven, we know that. That's always a picture of sin, right?
It's always a picture of sin. And anytime someone tells you it's not, I'd have to disagree with that. Leaven is always a picture of sin.
In the Bible, not in your kitchen.
Bible. No.
Okay.
But false doctrine is leaven.
Okay.
Okay, because it's hidden at first. And it grows until all is leavened.
Yes.
And notice in this parable, it's a woman who hides it. Not that women do this.
Yes.
But the fact is, again, we go back to that woman, Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's, of course, back to the church at Thyatira.
Thyatira, that's right. I got to take back what I said. The leaven is sin, and you search for it if you're doing Passover.
That's fun.
That is. But that's why, because it's a picture, right?
Yes, it's a picture. Typology. Yeah. All right. Number five. Now, in contrast to the leaven, we have a hidden treasure.
Oh, yeah. The parable is a hidden treasure.
Which is a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Treasures made up of different gems, who is found in the field, which is the world.
Okay.
And this guy sold all that he had. To buy the field.
Wow.
Okay, of course, Jesus gave his life for the world.
Right.
So to get the treasure that was in it, that's why he bought it.
Right, okay, so that's why he sold everything he had to buy it, yes.
So that he could get this treasure. And the price has been paid, and it's just waiting in escrow, so to speak. I like this analogy because is there not a time when you pay your cost for a property that you purchase and then the time when escrow closes?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's sort of like with Jesus. You know, he died on the cross, but now we're waiting for escrow to close.
Okay.
They're going to take over the deed and take
right.
over the land.
There you go.
Jesus gets the deed or scroll, and actually, Revelation 5, after we get up there, we're going to see him get it. And he opens the seal so that the property can be cleaned up first, and that's the earth.
Okay.
The tribulation, and then it's going to clean it all up.
Now, how would this match Sardis?
Well, because Sardis was, you know, pulled away, okay? And we, who is going to be in the next parable of the pearl,
okay,
we are in this treasure.
Oh, I see.
So, in other words, the treasure's there.
Okay.
Sardis broke away.
Okay.
But now we are going to be the pearl in that
Sardis. In that treasure. So now we've got to the five parables
mm-hmm.
of the kingdom. We're going for seven here, and these are matching the Paul's letters and
right.
the
and the
seven
last one is the particular gem in the hidden treasure, which is going to be, of course, the real adornment, the pearl.
The pearl. Okay.
Who begins as an ugly irritation, which is sin,
mm-hmm.
a discomfort. It was the favorite gem of the Gentiles. The Jews didn't care for it because of Deuteronomy 14. They weren't allowed to eat them or eat oysters. But they did trade them. They took the pearls and they traded them because it was very profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only gem that actually comes from a living organism.
Huh.
The only one.
Huh.
Turns white and whiter.
Hmm.
Like stars. And, of course, we know some stars are brighter than others.
So some pearls are brighter, right?
Mm-hmm.
More expensive than
mm-hmm.
others?
And Daniel 12:3 talks about those bright stars and different ways they shine.
Yes.
And anyway, these pearls grow bigger, becomes smoother, and is protected by an outer shell.
Hmm.
I think that's protection symbolically as the armor of Jesus. Okay.
Okay.
But this pearl is eventually removed from its environment. And that's us. We're going to be removed from the earth.
Uh-huh.
And it's only the pearls that are going to leave.
So what are pearls going to do after they leave?
Adorn the groom, of course. But it's really great because it's before the tribulation. Malachi 3:17 also talks about the treasures. I hope you'll read it. I think we should go over this again next week.
Next week, yeah.
Because it's so good.
Okay, and that would be the Church of Philadelphia.
That's the Church of Philadelphia. They are the pearl.
They definitely.
That
this is definitely magic.
Their environment.
Right. That is so cool.
Yeah.
We got one left, the seventh.
Okay, we got to hurry. The dragnet. Okay, this is, of course, is the judgment at the end of the tribulation where the wicked are destroyed. The unrighteous go to a place of torment until the great white throne when sentenced for eternal hell fire. And the righteous will go into the millennial kingdom. That separation of the sheep and the goats of Matthew 25.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, of course, that is Laodicea.
And that's the Laodicean church.
So if you look at it closely, I hope you'll read Matthew 13 parables. They follow the same order of the churches in Revelation.
Okay, and notice that these authors did not collaborate and that it's just a miracle that these things that exist, but it's God's word. It's the finger of God you see on in his word. Okay?
That's right. Amen.
Okay, now, if you're listening right now and you've never asked Jesus personally to come into your heart and life, repent for your sins and do it right now before it's too late. Study the scripture. You know, you don't have to know the Bible to get saved. Just cry out to God. Mm-hmm. Ask Jesus to take your sin. Okay? And why you still can, okay? And let us know if you make that commitment.
Yes,
write us and tell
do.
Us.
Yes, please do. Let us know.
Yeah, or you have, and if you have a question, just you can send it out to, if you'd like Sheila to speak at your church or your home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And then we've got those great studies for beginners on DVD, Hebraic Roots, Parts 1, 2, and 3, and that's available on the webpage as well, shofarministries.net, or just call her at 440-834-9006. Please remember, any donations are, whether it's $1, $100, or $1,000, any and all donations are extremely important.
They really
vital,
are.
Especially at this time of year to this Hebraic Roots ministry, and all ministries actually are really suffering this time of year. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. You can use PayPal, send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. All your donations will put you automatically on the monthly newsletter. Okay? We're going to leave you today with the Aaronic blessing, unless you have something to add.
No, go ahead, and I'll add at the end.
Okay. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalem. Psalm 122, 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
And that's not maybe.
Absolutely. We'll see you next week. Hope you'll join us.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.